humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering that are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, that may be the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, be perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory forever and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise be unto God for the reading of his precious and his eternal word. Don't you hate this virus? What do you hate the worst about it? Well, there's some fear to it. Of course there is. And there's some misery to it. And the thing about it is that you can't put your finger on it. You know, I'm amazed, you know, just out here in the middle of no place, somebody turns up with it. They haven't been anywhere. They haven't traveled to another country. They haven't gone to a mall or anything. And all at once, here's a case here. You say, how did that get over there? And then there's a case here. It's not like they have an army and they got in line and marched with their tanks and their guns and whatever they have to attack us. It's not like they all got together and said, now here we come. We're going to fly our banners and we're going to do a flyover with our jets and we're going to drop some bombs on you. We're going to soften you up with our artillery and then we're going to come in and get you. It's not like that. It's that when you're not looking and you're not thinking, here it comes. How did it get in this community? Where did it come from there? Well, you look at that and you have to think, this is a diabolical enemy that's against human beings. And I have to tell you, this is the kind of thing that the Apostle Peter is talking to the church about in his time. We need to be submissive to one another and to God. We need to be vigilant. What does that mean? That means we need to be on our toes. Throughout the New Testament, he comes time and again, and you know what he says? He says, don't be drunk. Don't be sober. Over and over and over again, he says that in the New Testament. And so he writes to us and says, the enemy, and there is an enemy. Don't you believe this modern crowd that says there's not such a thing as a personal devil. Don't you believe that theological whiz-bangers that say there's no devil. Same crowd that says there's no devil don't believe in the reality of God either. Don't believe in the reality of God in their life and in what's going on. So my friend, when you look at the world, I don't know for sure where he is. I can't always see the devil. It's kind of like the wind. I can't see the wind, but I know it's there. I can't always see the devil. I can't always see what he's doing, but I can see where he's been. I can see the heartache that he leaves behind. I can see the broken homes, the destroyed lives, the addiction, and all the things that goes on. And behind the onslaught of the devil, I can't see the virus coming. I can't see the virus moving through the land. But all at once they tell me it's here. How do they know it's here? Because somebody's sick. Somebody's suffering. Somebody's in danger. And some people are dying, by the way. It's not anything to be trifled with. But in this world today, Peter says there is another enemy, an adversary that's stalking us like a lion stalks its prey. Now, I don't know, you go through the Bible and you think about all the things that God has said to us about the devil to warn us and to get us on our toes and to keep us on our toes so that we'll fight the good fight. I know most of you have watched the animal shows. It used to be a Wild Kingdom. I don't know if that still exists or not. But there are all kinds of films and videos available to show you how animals do. And sometimes I find it very difficult to watch because, you know, sometimes we talk about a snake, talk about mean as a snake in the grass or sneaking as a striped snake. And I understand your terminology. I understand your feelings too, by the way. But I have to tell you something. A snake is not nearly as stalking and as dangerous as a lion. A lion, if you'll watch them, crouch, any cat, even a house cat's got the same moves. And if you'll watch those cats, watch those jaguars and tigers and lions and all of those kind of animals, you watch them and they're very quiet. Granny used to talk about, she'd get to preaching and it'd get right tough on you down, and she'd say, just about as quiet as cats walking on plowed ground. Well, when you talk about a stalker of prey, you're talking about a lion. I always thought, you know, when they used to take the Christians in Rome into the Colosseum, and they would have lions that had not eaten for a little while, and they would throw the Christians into the Colosseum. I don't know why anybody would go watch that for entertainment and watch the lions devour right there in public people that were alive when they went out there. I think that's about as horrible a thing as I can think about. And yet, he says that we have an enemy that's stalking us. And you remember that old poster of Uncle Sam? You know who Uncle Sam is, not my mother's brother. Uncle Sam, the United States, and he's standing there and he said, "Uncle Sam wants you." That's a recruiting poster, I think. Well, there's a lion, an adversary out there, and he wants you. Let me tell you something, my friend. The devil is not playing mumbly peg. The devil is not playing games. He's playing for keeps. He wants your eternal soul to go with him to the lake of fire. Satan knows where he's going. It's already written down. It's already settled in heaven. It's already settled on earth. Now, the only thing the devil can do between now and the time Jesus comes and the angels come and cast him into the bottomless pit and into the fires of eternal hell, the only thing he can do is drag as many human beings as he possibly can down to torment with him. That's all he can do. He cannot stop it. I don't know when the day is, and by the way, he don't know when the day is. And no one knows except the Father in heaven knows, but there is a day somewhere on God's eternal clock and God's eternal calendar. There is a day marked in God's mind, and God knows when that day comes, all hell, we say, will break loose. No, my friend, all hell will be filled and cast down into the bottomless pit. We had a preacher here one time preached that there wasn't, he didn't believe in an eternal hell. And boy, they really took issue with him. And he said, "Well, the Bible said that hell would be cast into the lake of fire." He said, "I believe in the eternal lake of fire, just not an eternal hell." Well, whatever you believe about it, there is a lion that's creeping around, an enemy of your soul. And hey, you've got to watch this dude. You got to watch this guy. This lion that's creeping around is for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to take your soul down to torment with him. That's his whole thing. That's his main job here on this earth today. And I can tell you something, folks. He'd rather torment this crowd right here this morning than he would a crowd in a beer joint. He'd rather torment the church people and try to drag people away from the consciousness of God than he would to start a fight in a beer joint on the side of the road. Because he's already got that crowd. He's already got them going his way. And he wants to bring you down with him. Well, hallelujah. The wonderful news is that he don't have the power to pluck you out of God's hand. Isn't that great? He doesn't have the power. But now I look through the Bible, and I could do this mentally without actually going to a concordance. But when I look through the Bible, I look in Genesis, and then I look over here in Revelation. And you know what I notice all the way through there? Is a serpent's trail. All the way through there. When I start reading in the Garden of Eden. But it's less than a chapter after we get settled in the Garden of Eden that here comes this old serpent in. And he slithers into the Garden of Eden, slithers up to Mother Eve, and begins his dirty work. And what's that dirty work? It's to tear down human beings. Satan hates human beings, folks. He hates your soul. He hates your eternal soul. He hates the fact that God has given you gifts and opportunities that he don't have, because he sinned his time away from God and is being destroyed in the fires of hell ultimately. Hell was not created for you, but it was created, the Bible said, for the devil and his angels. So we look in Genesis, and there he is right in the beginning, Mother Eve and Father Adam, the only two human beings on earth. And he's there to subvert them, drag them down. And he has. They and their families have suffered ever since. And I read all the way through the Bible, and I get over to the Revelation, and boy, Satan is really having a fit over Revelation, isn't he? When I look in the book of the Revelation, and I see that old serpent crawling around there, there's the same old trail that he's been leaving. And everywhere that old serpent crawls, my friend, there's heartache and headache. Everywhere that old serpent crawls, my friend, human beings are being dragged down by the power of that serpent. And my friend, we need to be wise. In fact, as the scripture says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And Satan's crawling around, and you say, what was his devices? Well, one was to fool Mother Eve. One was to deceive her and make her think one thing and to doubt the word of God. But then I get over to Revelation, and I can see that old serpent crawling around in the Revelation. You ought to read the book of the Revelation. If you haven't read the last book in the Bible, you need to read it. Because when you get to that book and you read in that book, you find out, my friend, that old serpent is crawling and devouring human beings right up to the end. And what a terrible legacy he leaves. In fact is, by the time we get to the Revelation, we see the time that the Christ will be brought forth from Israel, the woman with the child, and she's bringing forth a child to be born on this earth to bring salvation and redemption to people's hearts, to save people from a burning hell, to save people from an eternity without God. And at the time that child is born, what happens? That old serpent, the dragon. Dragon ain't nothing but a snake with legs on it, folks. Or a giant alligator or something. I mean, when you look at him, he's breathing fire and he's got little wings on himself. And the Chinese seem to be awful good and adept at making pictures of what they consider a dragon to look like. I don't know for sure what he looks like, but sometimes when I see him in Revelation, he's pictured with ten heads and seven horns and all kinds of weird things that go on. But the thing that he's there for is to what? The same thing that Peter talked about, to devour. When the Christ child came in the world, when the nation of Israel is bought with the price of the blood of Christ and the promises of God are being kept, what happens? Right that minute, that old dragon is sitting there with his mouth open to devour the child. If it were not for the earth helping the child and the power of God, he would have destroyed him. He tried so many times to. But when we look at that, there's that old dragon, and he's there to devour human beings. That's his whole thing right now, is to destroy humanity. And I look sometimes, and sometimes he's depicted as a wolf. Wolf? You ever watch those things from up in Alaska or somewhere? And the wolves are stalking, and they get together, they circle, and they look for the prey. What's the whole object of that? Whole object of that is to destroy and devour the human beings that they're after, or whatever prey they're after. And then I notice that I see that Satan takes the form of 007, I call it. And you say, well, how's that? Well, like the virus, he doesn't send you a warning that he's coming. But if you read all of this, you remember Daniel was seeking the Lord, fasted 21 days, all the things that Daniel went through with and seeking God because he didn't want his people to be destroyed, his nation. God knows maybe we need to do this. Daniel went on a fast. He went out to pray that Israel would not be destroyed, and he went out to pray that the prophecy would be fulfilled and Israel would not be utterly destroyed by the power of Satan. But when Daniel went out to pray that and he began to pray, he prayed today and tomorrow and the next day. He prayed 21 days. He didn't eat or drink. He didn't go anywhere or do anything. He laid on his face on the ground and prayed and sought God for 21 days. And when the angel came through and talked to Daniel, he said, Daniel, I was sent the first day you prayed. The first day you prayed, I was sent. Why didn't he get there? Because he was withstood by the prince of Persia. Now he's talking about a literal king in a literal kingdom in this world. That's why I call it 007. Because you think when you see these kings and these rulers, you think when you see the president of the United States, let me tell you something, folks. God's not a blithering old fool sitting on a rocking chair somewhere in the far reaches of the universe and doesn't know what's going on down here on this earth. God Almighty knows what's going on in Washington, D.C. God Almighty knows what's going on in Moscow. God Almighty knows what's going on in the United Nations. And my friend, God is not unaware of it, and God is not a do-nothing God about it. God is on the throne with all of his might, and when the king of Persia, why would the king of Persia be powerful enough to stop an angel of God? Because the king of Persia has been given his power by this dragon, this serpent, this one that's there. And my friend, if you look in the book of the Revelation, you see the beast at the end of time. You see the beast of the earth that are there. And guess what? They have been given their power by the devil. Go read it. Go read it in the book of the Revelation. Satan is giving his power to rulers and leaders in this world. People are being swayed, led astray. You say, how in the world could any group of people sit down and vote that it would be okay to kill little babies before they're born? How could it be that they could sit down and vote to just let a little baby die after it's born? How could it be that they would vote all these crazy things that are going on? I'll tell you how. Because the power of Satan is at work to influence the rulers of this world. And here we sit, my friend. When the angel came to bring the message to Daniel, it had to contend with the opposition of the devil through an earthly kingdom in this world. The kingdoms of Persia were the instruments of God's judgment on Israel, and Satan inspired them to the things they're doing. And I'm telling you that Satan is inspiring leaders of this world today and I'm not into politics. You don't worry about that. I'm not going to go there. But I want to tell you that leaders of this world are influenced by the power of Satan. Satan gives his power over to the beast to do the things that he will do here on this earth. And when you read that in the Revelation, it's startling. I tell you what else is startling in the book of Revelation. That in the last day, when the time is drawing at hand, angels will come from heaven. I don't understand all that God has done. And if you tell me you do, I'll forgive you for lying. You know, because I know that no one human being can do that. But I want to tell you, when At some time in the past, we don't know how long ago, we don't know how many angels God created, maybe billions. We don't know. But we do know this, that at some time in history, there's been a time that there was a rebellion among the angels. And that one great angel, the mightiest and the most beautiful of angels, who was Lucifer, has stood up against God and taken a third of the angels with him to fight against God. You say it's in the Bible? Uh-huh. It's right in there. And no, it's not some obscure passage that's hard to find. You just pick up a concordance anywhere, or a computer. You don't even have to go pick up a concordance. Go to a computer, and you can find it out and find out it's in the book. But the thing of it is, my friend, when I look at that and I see what's going on, I see something else happening, that in the last days there will be an increase of demon activity in this world, because an angel will come down from heaven. I think that's the fifth seal, to tell you the truth. An angel will come down from heaven and will unlock. I don't know when that great battle was. Some angels were banished from heaven. Some angels were banished to the earth. And some, the atmosphere, that's where Satan is right now. He's in the atmosphere. The prince of the power of the air. Remember the scripture talks about that? Yeah. Then what? Some of them were banished to the bottomless pit. Some of them have been in jail for, we don't know, a million years? I don't know. 100,000 years? I don't know. But some of them have been locked in the bottomless pit for ages. But one day an angel is going to come from heaven. He's going to unlock that bottomless pit and pull that door back. And when he does, all these demon entities, if we call them that, these demonite people will swarm out of there in such a cloud that it's like a cloud of dark, thick black smoke, and will obliterate the sun. These demon spirits will come out of the power of the underworld, out of the bottomless pit. And these demons will come out into the world, and they look like locusts. They're whirring and flying and jumping around, and it's like a great cloud of locusts that's come out. And they come out to do one thing: torment human beings. They're not here to hurt the trees. They're not here to hurt the grass. In fact, as they're commanded not to. They're not here to hurt any of nature like that. They're let go for one reason, because the judgment of God has called down from heaven and has opened the bottomless pit. Now, I don't know if that's been done yet or not, but I can tell you that the end time, my friend, will be a time that you as a Christian need more of the power of God in your life than human beings ever have. You're afraid of the virus? Well, that's good. You should be. Should be very careful about it. But let me tell you something, my friend. You should be afraid of the demon powers of hell that are going to be unleashed on this planet in the last days. If you ever were a praying person, now's the time to be a praying person. If you ever were a person that studied and believed the Word of God, now is the time that you need to study and believe the Word of God. And when I look at this, I see all of these demons coming out and influencing the rulers of this world. Now let me tell you something else. They're also influencing the leaders of industry, the leaders of entertainment, the leaders of all kinds of things in this world. The demons of hell are influencing them to do that. Now, there's something you need to notice about all these things. Satan is compared, first of all, to a serpent, to lions, to a dragon, to a wolf, to heathen kings. And what are all these things? Carnivores. They're not cows or deers or something. I know that's not good English. Deer. They're not those. The demons of hell, the Satan himself, are compared to animals like lions that in the book of Daniel, when he got to that last beast, which is the area you're entering into now and living in, that beast was so fierce, he was unlike any other that had been. And he had iron teeth, and he tore, and he rended, and he pulled people apart, and he stamped on them with his feet. Anything that was left of them, he stamped it down into the ground. It's a horrible thing. They're carnivores. And my friend, this whole thing is that they may torment and that they may destroy human beings. The whole ministry of demons and of Satan is to destroy your soul, to keep you from having the victory, to keep you from being where you should be. My friend, you don't want to be in this world in the next few years without Jesus. You don't ever want to be in the world without Jesus. But my friend, in the next few years, you do not want to be on this planet without the Lord in your life, without the Holy Ghost in your life. My friend, you need to seek the face of God. This is not a good time to go on a picnic and take a rest. This is not a good time, my friend, to go somewhere and sit back and say, well, I think I'll just sunbathe today. My friend, it's not a good time for that. This is a good time for you to be alert, to be what Peter said, vigilant, to be awake and to do it. First message that the Pentecostal people preached when they came into this valley. I happen to know, I've heard Sister Effie tell me several times, the first message she had when she came down and preached to this little church that was down below us here, that's no longer in existence, the 1899 church. And the first message she preached was this: the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. The destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that it was Jeremiah who prophesied that and said that. And he was prophesying that because Israel had backslid, turned away from God, forgot their raisins, forgot their teachings, forgot who they were and what they were. And because they had done that, God said, I will allow the destroyer of the Gentiles to come. My friend, we could this day, if we would, stop the work of Satan in this country. If we were in the book and on our knees and trust in God. But my friend, you know what he goes on to say? He said, oh, Jerusalem, you need to wash your heart. He said, you need to make mention to the nations and blow a trumpet of what's going on. He said, the watchers have come, and your ways and your doings and your wickedness have caused a bitterness to come in your heart. And he said, listen to what he said, the people are foolish and silly. Think about God saying that. The people are foolish and silly. My brothers and sisters, I'm not here this morning to just scare the bejabbers out of you. I'm not here this morning just to bring a message on prophecy and just do it to scare somebody into coming to the altar or something like that. My friend, I'm here that the world may know, that every minister of the gospel may know, that every person of God may know, that we need to tell the world. We need to tell it like we're blowing a trumpet. We need to mention it to the nations. We need to wash our hearts and cleanse our souls and make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to face increased demon activities? Do you realize they're going to attack your children and your grandchildren? Do you realize that your little ones are coming into a world that we haven't had to live in? And they're going to have to grow up and grow old as long as they can in a land that's not what you're going to recognize. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you in 20 years, you're not going to recognize the society of the United States as being the ones that you've been in. My friends, as more and more of the base of good citizens in this country are deluded, Satan's working, my friend. He's working as a wolf, and you say, wolves are so fierce. Yes, but sometimes they wear sheep's clothing. And sometimes they come out and pretend to be who they are not in order to get close enough to the sheep to kill the lambs. My friend, I look at our little children, our little grandchildren, and this generation's coming on, and I pray for them. I pray that there will be men of God and women of God who are willing to stand up and mention to the nations and declare to the nations like a trumpet and wash their hearts and make them clean. My friend, we have got a religion in America today that's a sissy religion. We don't have enough gumption to stand up on our own two feet and enough steel in our spine to stand up straight. My brothers and sisters, I can remember when we expected to be persecuted. We didn't expect anything else but to be persecuted. I'm telling you, the danger is here and the danger is coming. And on the authority of the Word of God and on the authority of the Holy Ghost, I warn you and I warn people who will hear this on the internet, people will hear this on the radio, and I warned them all, wash your hearts. Wash your hearts. Tell the world. Prophet Joel said, tell your children and your children's children. Blow a trumpet in Zion. My brothers and sisters, don't be one of the foolish and silly citizens who will go along with anything and compromise with everything. My friend, we need to stop believing our doubts and doubting our beliefs, but stand flat-footed and four square on the Word of God. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Our Father and God, we come into your presence today with thankful hearts. Lord, we're grateful for all that you've ever done for us, grateful for all the times that you've answered prayers, and God, we're thankful that you take time out to warn us from week to week and moment to moment, God, of the day and the time that we're in. May the Holy Ghost, God, touch hearts and lives here today. And Lord, for those listening by transcription somewhere else, and Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to spread far and near the Word of God where we didn't once have. We pray your Spirit will go with us, Lord, and keep us and draw us close to you. Convict us of our sins and make us to know your will and way. Heavenly Father, we ask all of this and ask that souls, if they're here this morning not saved, will they be touched? May hearts be blessed. May bodies be healed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.